May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's a famous Christmas Day story set here in Westminster Abbey. It takes us back to Christmas Day 1066, when William the Conqueror, recently victorious over Harold's Saxon army at Senlac Hill, came here to be crowned king. After a great procession and some elaborate chants in Latin, he stepped into the abbey. And there, Geoffrey, Bishop of Coutances, spoke to the Norman invaders in their own language. If the king presented to you please you, declare it. But there was a problem with language. Defeated Saxons needed to swear loyalty too. So Ealdred, Archbishop of York, asked the same question in an English that we would not recognize. If the king presented to you please you, declare it. The trouble was that the Normans didn't recognize it either. Outside, soldiers posted by a very anxious conqueror to keep him safe, heard a bewildering roar from inside the abbey, and assuming the worst, they set fire to Westminster. Despite our best efforts to organise Christmas, truss it up in tinsel, anaesthetise it in cherry brandy, and have really precise timings that involve turning the oven on at 0450 and setting the Brussels sprouts to simmer at 0510, Christmas very often escapes us. We can be beset by misunderstandings. There was the year my dear father set out to tidy up the wrapping paper, but actually threw presents away, including a necklace my daughter never saw again. Or this year, you ordered Brussels sprouts. We delivered bananas. If anyone can explain the logic of that to me, please speak to me afterwards. Or the really clever wish list that absolutely guaranteed that I got the book I most wanted. Indeed, I got it three times. Christmas overturns our best efforts. And it was always like that. Christmas is an interruption. It's a break in continuity. The familiar story is so familiar to us now that we miss the judder and the jolt. St. Luke telling us that this is all so implausible and so fragile. A virgin having a baby, an old woman long past childbirth who's going to be the mother of John the Baptist, no room at the inn. In St. Matthew, Joseph wants to desert Mary. Wise men follow a star, but still cannot find Christ, and ask advice of Herod, of all people. It's mayhem, mayhem, and it's murder. Christmas is really disruptive. And it was interruption and disruption that we've just heard in St. John's Gospel. Christ comes amongst us, the Son of God, firstborn before creation, the one to whom the world belongs. And yet no one will have it. No one will have him. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. John has hold of us by the lapels this morning. He really wants to tell us something, and we ought to pay attention. I know it's Christmas morning, I know celebration beckons, and by tea time it's quite likely that Uncle Ernest may well not be thinking clearly, but whilst we are all bright-eyed, let's give a moment to Theology 101, an introduction to the doctrine of St. John. This is the gospel that starts in the beginning, and that plugs us straight into the mains, because we've heard this before. Another book starts like this, in the beginning. That's how the first book starts. This sounds very like Genesis, the book about creation, the story of how everything began. And John is making a pitch. He's telling us, I'm doing that too. This isn't just a story about a baby in a manger. This is the story of everything. John and Genesis. It's the same story, but with a twist. The book of Genesis tells us that at the very beginning of everything, God said, let there be light. Now, light is a very good place to start. We know that life depends on light. But we also think of light in another way. Suppose for a moment that I say something wise to the canon theologian. He might, once he's recovered from his surprise, say, I see, meaning I understand. Because we think of the light of understanding. When someone gets an idea they couldn't understand before, we say light has dawned. Genesis tells us that all things begin in God and that we will see it. We'll live in that light. We might even understand. But John does something else. John doesn't give us light. He gives us a word. In the beginning was the word. It all begins with a word and with a very specific word. Suppose for a moment, having discovered we have a canon theologian here, you go to him for some insight. You want to know perhaps why, when you stare deep into the eyes of your best beloved, you get a funny feeling in your stomach. He might tell you, well, there's a word for that. It's called love. Equally, he could say, there's a term for that, or even there's an expression for that. It's love. And in just the same way, in Greek, in the language that John was using when he wrote the Gospel, he could choose a very particular expression. In the beginning, he said, in Greek, was the logos. And it's fine to translate that as in the beginning was the word, but it would also be quite good to translate it as in the beginning was the explanation, because that's what John means. In the beginning, God spoke. And what God did was to explain. God, whose life is simple, unqualified, undefended love, pours out of himself in love and explains. That's what John is trying to tell us this morning. Jesus arrives at Christmas as the explanation. This is how it begins, where it begins. This is where it's going. Jesus as explanation. And then John quickly adds a bit more information. This explanation, the one that explains everything, arrives as light in darkness. It shines in the darkness, and the darkness doesn't overcome it. So Christ arrives in contested space, living in darkness. Some people choose darkness. Not everyone has the light of understanding. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. So the explanation is given and it's contested. It's rejected. Although it's the explanation of absolutely everything, alternatives are offered. There are different theories. Or more dangerously, there's the idea that there ever could be such a thing as an explanation is wrong-headed. It's ridiculed. We're too sophisticated, too sensible to have an explanation of everything. So we turn away, just as we keep turning away from one another when we're hurt or angry or upset. Any explanation except this one. There's a poem by Charles Causley he wrote having looked at a crucifix in Normandy. I am the great sun, but you do not see me. I am the captive, but you do not free me. I am the captain, you will not obey. I am the truth, but you will not believe me. I am the city where you will not stay. So God issues out of himself in love, explains everything. And the explanation is Jesus, who is our life and the way we live it. But complicated people that we are, we just won't have that. We reject the explanation that's offered, hate the love we're shown, kill the life we're given. And that is exactly what St. John is trying to tell us this morning. And if that all sounds a bit complicated and a bit heavy, let me employ some words used by an old friend, now long dead, God rest him. Herbert McCabe once said, the whole of our faith is the belief that God loves us. I mean, there isn't anything else. Anything else we say we believe is just a way of saying God loves us. Any proposition, any article of faith is only an expression of the faith and a way of saying that God loves us. God, who is nothing but love, explains, and the explanation is love. Can life, even at Christmas, be confusing and difficult? Yes, it can. Does it sometimes feel as though the darkness is winning? Yes, absolutely. Are we living in contested space? Have we been lied to? Yes, we probably have. All of that is agreed and accepted in our reading this morning. All of that, and the promise spoken once at creation and ringing through everything ever since, that the explanation is given and the explanation is love. It always was, it always will be love, and it will always be true. Because the Word became flesh and lived among us. God's explanation is given to us in the one form you and I might recognize, as a human being, as a child who becomes a man. The explanation is Christ living, dying, and rising. It's true, and it's beautiful, full of grace and truth, says St. John. And that is why we celebrate Christmas, because here is the word of hope that we longed for. Here's the explanation in a language we can understand. Here's the end of confusion. Here is hope. Happy Christmas.